B. Mitch Finley, 106.7 The Fan. All right. As much excitement as there is about Commanders Cowboys this weekend, Northwest Stadium will be bumping, is my guess. Jeff, you working this one? I'm not sure. The elephant in the room right now for D.C. sports fans is Alex Ovechkin. John Walton does an absolutely tremendous job covering the Caps, calling the play-by-play right here on 106.7 The Fan. You can listen to Walton every Caps game on our airwaves. John joins us now. Thank you for making time for us. How are you, buddy?
Doing all right. Doing all right. Back from the road. Team's going well, but obviously a very different feeling in these parts than we've really ever had in the Ovechkin era, guys. It's going to be kind of weird moving forward.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Has he ever missed significant time?
No. And that's what's crazy is that through the course of, I think the number that he has missed in 20 years is 59 games total. And of that, wow, there were a couple of suspensions. There was a family leave when his father passed away.
Yeah,
I'm going to say maybe just over half that. So I think if you add up all of the games in 20 years, I don't think you get to 40. And that is insane. And that is why he's on the cusp of getting the all-time goal record to be that resilient. But that also at the same time, guys, I got to tell you, I mean, it was weird in Utah after the game, after they'd won all three games on the road trip, and the mood was pretty somber. And I'd say here in Arlington today, it's not a whole lot different. So, but you got to pick up, you got to move on, you got to win for the big fella.
There you go.
Can you take us through that moment in Utah the other night? I mean, you're calling the action. You see him go down. Start with just the hit. I don't think there's any funny business there. You tell me if you feel differently and kind of everything that happened from that moment on in the night.
Yeah, I know. I feel badly in some sense for Jack McBain because he did not mean to do this. He turns. It's a hockey play. It's a leg-on-leg thing. It wasn't like he went out of his way to do it. It was just an unfortunate play. In fact, if you look at the replay, McBain goes down even more than Ovi does. Kind of goes flying, gets turned around. I don't think he had any intent like that. But, you know, you see him go down. We have seen it before. And, you know, every time you think, oh, boy, that doesn't look good. And then next thing you know, like maybe he misses, you know, a few shifts or maybe even the rest of the game. And then you come back to practice the next day and there he is, like nothing happened. So my thought initially was, well, it doesn't look too bad. And then our vantage point in Utah was strange because it's, you know, it's a basketball building and our sight lines are a little weird. So I couldn't see as much, not as much as Joe and Craig because they were on the other side of the building for TV. Coming off the bench, tried to give it a go and couldn't. And I think, you know, if I'd seen a little bit more of that, I'd probably like, oh, boy, that doesn't look good. But then when you got downstairs, you knew exactly that it's like, okay, the Caps are up big. I wasn't even that concerned that he wasn't coming back because, like, well, you're not going to put him in. They're up 5-2, 6-2 now, so no big deal. But it was a big deal. And, you know, immediately when you got downstairs, you could sense it. So, and then, you know, coming back yesterday on the flight and all of that, it's, you know, it's tough. You know, it's, but, you know, it's a rallying cry now. It's win one for the big fella, I think, in the dressing room.
Yeah, sure. But like they said, week to week, and I think the ultimate thing is he was playing so good, 5 goals in the last 2 games. You like, okay, this record's coming down. That people really want to see that, didn't want to see that stop. If you anticipate anything, and I hate to see speculation anyway, you know, how much time you would think? Do you have a clue?
It's really tough to know, V-Mitch, and I guess, you know, as you look at where are you here in the season, you know, we're coming up on Thanksgiving, and obviously this is going to be, you know, a few weeks, and, you know, we don't know. I think we're going to have better information. Spencer Carberry talked today, and it sounded like, you know, there's more evaluation going on today, but I think maybe even as soon as tomorrow we might have at least a better sense. But, I mean, I think you've got to say that it's going to be really tough to see him back. What, the next few? I mean, it's the holidays now. You're getting into January. I mean, it's not that far away, right? So if you say it's 6 weeks, I mean, you're looking into January. So, you know, no way to know. I mean, just not knowing anything about, you know, what the actual injury is. I mean, when you go week to week, I mean, it's going to be a few weeks. So you get down to really the last half of the season and the distance he's away. I think what seemed like a lock early in the third period in Utah the other night, he's going to break it this year. I think this time is really going to set that back, unfortunately. I think it's going to be really tough for him to do this year, and I hate that. It sucks. He was playing, to your point, so well. It seemed almost inevitable, and now I think you're going to – this timeline gets pushed back because it's just sheer gains. Even if he comes back on a heater, it's going to be tough because you're just going to run out of real estate. You're going to run out of racetrack here. So I hope so. I hope it's not as long as that. But I think if you get past, if he's not there, New Year's moving forward, I think it's going to be tough to do it this year.
Man, I hope that's not the case. It just, this was such a fun start and, like, unexpected, I would say, with Ovechkin. We're talking with John Walton, Caps play-by-play voice for the radio. You can listen to all the Caps games right here on 106.7 The Fan. John, you're way closer to this thing than we are, but there was so much joy in Ovi's level of play, and then Strom's playing so well alongside of him, and they're developing these young guys at the same time. This just sucks, dude.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the feeling. Yeah. I mean, what you want to try and do is, and I think in what is different from maybe if this were last year where the Caps may not have had the supporting cast that was going, like McMichael wasn't scoring at this level, Protas wasn't scoring at this level, Strome has found another level. The hope is that when these guys get after it starting tomorrow, that what has been a pretty deep team up till now with offense from all four lines, that you put in Ivan Marochnichenko and you see where things fall out after that, and you lean on the guys that have been doing it throughout this entire season. I mean, the McMichael, Dubois, Wilson line has to be a big part of it. And then I think you're looking at guys even on the defensive side. Jacob Chychrun is otherworldly right now in terms of getting, if he gets that shot away, good luck. He's a really good offensive defenseman, and I think you're going to look for maybe a little more offense from the D. And again, you know, Strome is leading the team in points, and Protas is still there. And, you know, whether it's Marochnichenko or Taylor Radish or whoever it ends up being on that right side, then, you know, I think Radish has been a 20-goal guy with Chicago as recently as 2 years ago, and he played with Strome. So, you know, they've got some options. Spencer Carberry said today they're going to look at a couple different options and see what they like. But, you know, I think all those are on the table, and you hope you can keep some of that offensive momentum going. And as deep as they are, I think you can do it.
Let's hope so, dude. They've got a game tomorrow night against Colorado. I know they've got seven in the next seven, like 9 days. I know they go, don't they go Wednesday, Friday, Saturday around Thanksgiving? I believe I'm going to that Friday game. I'm excited, taking the kids.
Yeah, that's always tough around Thanksgiving, and it's weird that usually we're home that night before Thanksgiving and not this year. It's the day after the Islander game, so a lot of road games, to your point, you know, going to Florida, going to Tampa, going to New Jersey. So, yeah, it's going to be very strange to not even have him on the plane. The mentor's trip is coming up. I mean, there's just so many different things that, you know, that the team, it's always a big team. This trip is always a favorite, and to not have him a part of it's going to be a pretty big void, but you know, again, I think it's just part of the rallying cry, right? I mean, you say, listen, you know, it's time to, you know, the big man is, they can't do it, so we got to find a way. And, you know, I think you're going to see hopefully a lot of that here in the coming weeks.
For sure.
Yeah.
Talking with John Walton here, Caps voice for Caps Radio. Follow him at John Walton PXP. Dude, what carries them? The goaltending's been awesome. They've been scoring, you know, it's not just Ovi, but he's been a big part of the catalyst, but can the rest of these guys kind of push back together and keep the hot goaltending going and stay winning?
Yeah, I mean, I think defensively, for the most part, they've been really good. I mean, there have been a couple of occasions. I mean, most recently in Utah, they get a few more shots maybe. But, you know, the Caps have been done by and large, except for a few back-to-backs where, you know, they just have worn out a little bit. You know, they've managed to suppress opposition shots pretty well. And then Logan Thompson is just seemingly getting better and better as this season goes along. So getting him in there, Charlie has now won two straight as well. So you've got a nice 1-2 punch, and you've got a pretty good defense in front of them. So right there, I think, you know, when you're tightening the screws a little bit, sure, I mean, you can, that's part of maybe they're doing their part for another 5 or 10%, a little bit more, just keeping people like, you know, Nathan MacKinnon tomorrow night to the outside and limit shots like they did last week when we were in Denver. So, yeah, I think by and large, I mean, you know, there's a lot of different facets to the game. Goaltending's part of it. Defense is part of it. You know, a few more goals from other sources. And a guy like Jacob Vrana, which, funny enough, you know, here's a guy, you know, we love him. He was traded from here to Detroit, and he really had a tough time with the Red Wings and then the Blues, and it looked like maybe his career was over. And they brought him in, the Caps did, on a PTO. It comes in and makes the team, and in doing so now finds a spot on the third line. And now today, in the absence of Ovi, he's on the number one power play. So wow. It looks like he steps up and gets more time. It's a great story, and Jake's, you know, he's doing great. You know, I love to, you know, that smile is back. He's scoring some goals. He's getting some points. And, you know, I think that's a source, too, where you can say, hey, listen, you know, turn back the clock to 2018 a little bit with getting Jake on the sheet a little bit more. So, you know, there's a lot of different things that we'll be keeping an eye on, and hopefully enough of them rise that, you know, you make up the difference. You're not going to make up the presence because you can't. Ovi's one of a kind. But if you can make up some of the offense that you'll lose there, I think they're going to be fine. This team can sustain this. I really believe that. They are a good team. It wasn't just Ovi carrying them. They're a good group on and off the ice. I think they're going to be fine.
Any line changes can happen that can kind of make that first line? Like McDavid has been scoring a lot. Michael is scoring a lot.
Yeah, I mean, that line stays intact. I mean, it's weird because the rule always has been, B-Mitch, whatever line that number eight's on, that's the number one line, right? But, you know, I think it may change a little bit just in terms of minutes. And I think that's the thing that, you know, the McMichael, Dubois, Wilson line. Now, you're probably right. That's probably your one at this point, depending on, you know, minutes deployment. That's how we kind of tell, right? If they're out there the most or they're out in more situations, maybe that's the line. You know, Protas and Strome will stay together. You know, whether it's, you know, Taylor Radish or whether it's, you know, Ivan Marochnichenko may get a look there. He's an offensive type player, but I don't think you want to put too much pressure on him right away. So we'll see where he ends up. But he's going to play tomorrow. I think we're pretty sure of that. The coach didn't really want to give away the lines today on or off the ice. So it's just more speculation, I think, and just what we're hearing. But in that sense, I think we're going to see a couple different things. The checking line with Dowd is going to be, you know, Brandon Duhaime got a maintenance date today, so hopefully he's okay. That's one that I'm actually going to worry about a little bit because, I mean, that checking line may change a little bit too. And how they deploy minutes. I think it's going to be a work in progress, honestly. I think we're going to see what happens, you know, take it period by period and just, you know, kind of keep an eye on who's out there, what's working, what isn't. There's going to be probably a couple different lines that they trot out there and just see what works.
John, I wanted to switch gears just a little bit. We are talking with John Walton, radio voice of the Washington Capitals. You can hear all the Caps games right here on 106.7 The Fan. I'm just kind of going through your bio, and something came to my attention that I think Brian should be made aware of. B-Mitch, John Walton is the 2024 Monumental Sports and Entertainment Top Golf Champion.
Huh.
What exactly does that entail, Walton?
Listen, I don't get too many golf accolades, but, you know, we have the annual, and listen, Monumental is such a, I can't tell you how much a big family this place is, and it's not just us, it's the people who work at the arena, it's the Wizards, it's, you know, Mystics, everybody. And
well, I can tell you I wasn't invited. So we'll start there.
And if he was, you would have probably won.
Get on the invite.
You still won, John.
Yeah, well, listen, I probably got lost in the mail, but I'll check, JP.
Yeah, thank you.
I was wailing that day, and I was as surprised as anybody. I was like, oh, I have a pretty good score, and they take all the scores. I didn't know until like 2 or 3 days later, and then a medal showed up in my office, and I was like, what is this? A top golf champion. So I showed it to Tariq Al-Bashir because he didn't win either, he said, dude, you got to get that word out there. And I was like, well, you know what I do? Because that's like the first golf thing I think I've ever won. So, decided to trumpet that out there.
I'm proud of you.
Good job,
I want to start there and just letting you know we're proud of you.
Well, I appreciate that, man. That means the world to me.
I bet. Listen, John, I hope we get better news than it seems like maybe is expected.
Think positive.
I'm going to try, dude. Obviously. That's what everybody wants to see and hear.
I never knew this was such a negative-ass town, boy.
I mean, one, you did know that. Two, it
seemed... No, I didn't.
I mean, the coach,
not
is,
everything.
Saying, the coach is saying week to week. That could easily be 3 weeks.
Yeah, cool. But as long as he's coming back, it's all that matters.
Do you think, regardless of the record this year, what is Alex's, like, structure contractually? Like, I know at some point I've always heard he wants to go back and play in Russia. How does all that get impacted?
I don't know that it really has a whole lot of impact. I mean, the one thing that we do know is that it's not a season-ending thing, so we know he's going to be back, and he's got one more year in his deal, so he will be back
okay,
next season.
Okay, so he does have another year.
Yeah, he's back already, so we're good there.
Okay, all right, good. That settles that then. John, thank you for the time, man.
Appreciate
you joining us.
You bet. Thanks, fellas. Appreciate it.
Maybe when you go to defend that championship, we're going to try to come out there and
challenge
maybe
me and B get invited.
Yeah, we'll get JP out there. We'll go head-to-head next year. We'll do that.
You'll beat me. That's our friend John Walton. Give him a follow at John Walton, PXP. Walton's one of the good ones out there, man. You know what? It's as a dude that's grown up here and watched Caps and seen them grow from, like, this super niche thing to kind of the Ovechkin era where they are –
this stuff.
I mean, they're probably the second biggest team in town. Maybe the Nats, just because more people like baseball. But Caps are a big deal. And I think a huge part of the Caps being such a big deal is guys like, certainly Ovi's the headliner. But Walton, Joby, Locker.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. People love those guys, man.
When the coverage is awesome and they're
Anybody that listens to Prince, I love them.
Yeah, they're good. They're fair. You know what I mean? It's a great product that for a lot of people that aren't necessarily like hockey diehards, you can listen to Walton, you can watch Joby and Locker, and you learn something, and you get to enjoy the game.
Totally.
And that is a huge part of the Capitals' success in this city, if you ask me. Now, Ovi's still the headliner.
Number one.
Don't forget that B. Mitchell Finley is brought to you by Rude HVAC Equipment. Head over to Rude.com to find a contractor near you and maybe some available tax credits or rebates. And what's that they say about Rude, B?
If it ain't Rude, it ain't right.
Mark Seagraves joins us next. B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Time to learn, folks. A lot of talk about the Commanders getting back to RFK Stadium. Our guy, Mark Seagraves from NBC4, investigative reporter, been covering this stuff around D.C. and Congress, all of it, for quite some time, really understands how this all works. Mark, thank you for joining us, man. There's excitement about RFK.
JP, thanks for having me. There absolutely is. I got to tell you, the Senate hearing yesterday was a big, big deal, a big step forward for D.C., and it was exciting because you saw both Republican and Democratic senators excited about this move to give the city full control over that RFK land, which is what has to happen in order to bring the Commanders back to D.C.
Okay, so what happens next?
So right now what you have is, you know, for people who don't know, D.C. does not own the land that RFK is on. They basically lease it for the government for no cost, and that lease is going to end in a few years. And in order to build a new stadium or to build anything on that parcel of that 174 acres of land, D.C. needs to have full control for another 99 years. And that legislation passed the full House last year, and it passed a Senate committee yesterday. So the next thing that has to happen is it has to get attached to an omnibus bill before the Senate that will be passed before the end of this year. And once that happens, the president can sign it, and then Washington, D.C. has complete control of the land. And while that didn't look like a sure bet a week ago, it looks much more likely now because the atmosphere in that, I was sitting in that hearing room, and you heard the senators, after they voted 17-2 to approve it, both Republicans and Democrats overwhelmingly agreeing on this, they cheered up, "Go Commanders." And wow. So there is definitely momentum in favor of getting this done for the District of Columbia before the end of the year. And that's what Josh Harris has said needs to happen, that he can't wait for this to drag out into next year with a new administration and a new Congress and a lot of unknowns politically what's going to happen. He wanted it to happen this year, and now more than ever, it looks like it will.
Let me ask you this question. I know a lot of people say, well, you know, the people in the area may not want it. They wouldn't be doing this if they weren't trying to put a stadium there, I think.
Well, here's the deal with that. Whether you – and look, you know, we heard from the Maryland senators and the Maryland governor. They certainly don't want this deal to go through because they're competing for the team, right? But – and in the district, there is disagreement, including amongst elected officials. The mayor very much wants it. The chairman of the council not so much wants it. Charles Allen on the council definitely doesn't want a stadium there. But what they all agree on is they want D.C. to get control of that land, because beyond just the stadium going there, there will be retail, there will be housing, there will be green space and recreation areas. It's right next to a metro station. It's right on the Anacostia River. It's 174 acres of completely unused land right now. So even if the district doesn't ultimately get the Commanders, if they get this land, it is a huge, huge win for Washington, D.C. But yes, there will be a fierce debate internally whether or not they should pay to build this stadium, or how much, if anything, because, you know, there was almost no debate in the city about keeping the Caps and Wizards and spending $500 million on that. But if you go back a few years to the debate over bringing the Nationals and building that stadium, which is exactly what D.C. did with D.C. taxpayer dollars, there was fierce, fierce debate over that that went into the wee hours and almost broke down at the last minute. So expect to see a real battle over public funding of this stadium if it happens. But make no mistake, everybody just about in D.C. wants control of that land.
Mm-hmm. Talking to Mark Seagraves here, reporter for NBC4 Washington. Got breaking news all over the area. You can give him a follow at SeagravesNBC4. One of the most badass things on your Twitter profile, Mark, is you follow zero people, and you write on there, "I am following you, but not on Twitter." I think that's pretty hysterical.
I love it.
For an investigator like yourself, I like that a lot. So, specific to RFK, has there been any indication that they won't be seeking public money? I kind of doubt it. I think that's how these stadiums get built.
You know, that's the business model. That's what, you know, the people want. It's just a question of how that looks and how that's fashioned, and how much there is. What the mayor has said, and what even the council chairman has indicated he may be open to, is public funding for infrastructure around the actual stadium, the things that need to be done for the roads and, you know, whatnot, the actual stadium being paid by the owner. You know, we'll have to see. They're going to be competitive. They're going to be competing with Maryland. You saw them, you know, in a blink of an eye, put up $500 million to keep the Wizards and the Caps here in D.C. The way they paid for the baseball stadium was they implemented what they called a baseball tax, and that was placed on either the top 100 or top 100 or 200 businesses in the district, like Pepco. And they put this tax on those businesses, and that paid for the stadium. That tax is set to sunset soon. What they would likely do is just to keep that tax in place, borrow against that like they did for the stadium, the baseball stadium, and that's how they could fund the new football stadium if they chose to do it. And there's a lot, you know, look, D.C. was very close to getting the Olympics a while back. And one of the things we didn't have was a dome stadium. And I think if you know, that'll be one of the things people talk about, is that this gives us an opportunity to attract things beyond just the NFL.
Olympics, World Cup.
Final Four, WrestleMania.
Final Four, you got Super Bowl.
Taylor Swift.
It can make some money.
Beyonce.
One question she came though, right?
She
was
again.
At FedEx. Okay. Mark, one question I have is, the city came up with the money quick to keep the Caps and the Wiz once the Alexandria threat became real, right? And I think you had to do that because that kind of anchors that part of downtown, and without it, I don't know what would have become of that area. If you look at Nats Park, I remember that fight because I remember MLB wasn't going to commit the Expos to D.C. until they had that signed deal, all that stuff. But if you look at the Navy Yard area from a now, I'm not talking about if there's been displaced residents or any of that, right? Like, there's always more to the equation. But from a straight dollars and cents standpoint, that has to be an absolute profit center for the city when it comes to taxes compared to what was there before. Like, they've made their money back and then some on the Nats Park construction. Is that, at least to my eye, is that accurate?
Well, again, in the eye of the beholder. So the city will say that they've gotten their money back tenfold in that deal. And you know, look, nobody can deny that Abe Pollin was a pioneer in developing Chinatown and downtown and using his own money to do so. But the reality of that deal, you know, Abe Pollin was as much a philanthropist as he was a brilliant, long-range thinking businessman. And so when he built that arena with his own money, the deal was that he was not going to pay taxes on that land or for the entire time that he's owned that. So they, and Monumental, have more than made their money back on that initial investment by Abe Pollin, but, and it certainly was a catalyst. But what people, detractors will say, which is true, is downtown Chinatown and the Navy Yard would have developed regardless of whether the stadiums have gone there. Maybe not as quickly, but they certainly would have developed because you had the huge Southwest Waterfront development going up before Nats Ballpark went up that brought the Department of Transportation down in there, that area. So there was, it was going to happen one way or another. But look, there is a prestige to being a city that hosts all of the major sports. And we have all but one in D.C., and it's something that the mayor very much wants. Look, she very much wants to be the mayor who, you know, saved the Caps, saved the Wizards, and brought football to Washington, D.C. I can tell you she would very much like that on her resume.
I think you got to have a Super Bowl in the nation's capital.
What's wild is
I'm just saying.
I think this was a Washington Post column. I want to say it was Mark Fisher, but don't quote me on that, was saying how clearly it seems Bowser wants to get this done. She's openly talking about it, whether it's a legacy play or the best thing for the city or what, she wants it done. And that this column I read in the Post was that Trump wants it done. And that the two of them haven't exactly been the best of friends, but that, you know, they might have the same objective. Mark, obviously there was an election and a lot changed earlier this month, but that doesn't happen till early January. They need to get this done before Christmas, at least on the federal level. Is that accurate?
That's right, and that is what Josh Harris has said again, that he wants it done this Congress before they go in to recess, until they recess this Congress, and then you get a new one sworn in January. And so there are a few big bills, omnibus bills, that have to be passed before the end of the year, that will be passed before the end of the year, and what the district is hoping is that this bill will be attached to one of those larger bills and passed by the Senate before the end of the year. And again, it looks better than it ever has for D.C. For that to happen. And then President Biden would sign that and it would be off and running. You know, we clearly have bipartisan support in the House and the Senate for this right now. The White House right now wants it. I don't know how President-elect Trump feels about this, but we also know the NFL wants this, right? The NFL has made it clear that they want a team playing in Washington, D.C. And Josh Harris has made it pretty clear that, you know, for sentimental reasons, you know, you see that clip that we run on NBC4 every time I do this story of Josh Harris, you know, saying so honestly, like, so, you know, I grew up here, right? My friends, you know, I'll cop to growing up a Giants fan, but, you know, all my friends were, you know, diehard burgundy and gold, and they all had that same romantic feel about
RFK
and the team playing here. And making that trek, you know, down to that area. And so I think there's a lot of momentum going for D.C. in this right now. If they clear this hurdle with the federal government and the Senate this year, then the battle goes to City Hall. And it'll be up to the 13 members of the D.C. Council to decide what or how much they'll fund for this.
I think when you look at all of those people with all that money in that Harris group, a lot of those politicians want this to work too.
You know why I never thought Snyder was going to get a new stadium? Because what politician wanted to take a picture next to him at a ribbon cutting? You know who every politician wants to take a picture next to at a ribbon cutting? Magic Johnson. Mark, this has been so great. Last one from me. We're talking with our friend Mark Seagraves, NBC4 reporter. You can follow him at Seagraves, NBC4. This, there's a lot of words I want to use to describe him. I will keep those to myself. This senator from Montana that keeps kicking up trouble about the old logo. Are we past the point where he can submarine this?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, he spoke yesterday in favor, and he voted yes. He was a yes.
Oh, hell
yeah.
One
of the only senators who voted. You're talking about Steve Daines from Montana, and he represents the family of the Blackfeet tribe that the original logo that you saw on the side of the helmet was depicted after Chief Two Guns, and they very much his family is still alive in Montana, and his descendants very much want that logo to be restored and to be honored. And the senator at the hearing said that the family had spoken with ownership, and they were negotiating in good faith, and that he believed they were in some way going to pay tribute. It's not about bringing the name back. It's just about that logo. And he was the only senator who really spoke up, other than Manchin, who was the chair of the committee, and he spoke in favor of it. So that hurdle is cleared. There is one guy out there still who can – well, there's two, a couple of guys. One is Mike Lee. He is a senator also on the committee. He was one of the two no votes yesterday, and his issue is that he wants Washington, D.C. to pay fair market value for that land. And when I asked Mayor Bowser about that, her quote was, the federal government should be paying us to take it off their hands. But he did not speak at the hearing. He was a no vote along with Bernie Sanders. But
what the hell is Bernie Sanders' problem?
You know, he's just against this deal. The other obstacles will be the Democratic senators from Maryland who are going to oppose this. Because they want the stadium to stay in Maryland. And their argument will be that, well, D.C. has an unfair advantage because they have all the land for free. And the federal government's giving them this land for free that they're going to then give to a billionaire developer. And that puts, you know, Maryland at a competitive disadvantage. So that will be their argument. But I really think they will be in the minority. After sitting in that hearing room yesterday, and look, you know what we've been through politically for the past couple of years, right? To sit in a room with Democrats and senators almost unanimously on the same page about an issue is rare these days. And to see them all cheer "Go Commanders" at the end of that vote left me thinking that the Senate is poised to do the city a solid on this.
I just look at it where it's been like that the whole time. If they had just made that rule recently, I can understand their argument in Maryland, but it's always been that way.
Yeah. My thing, the two Maryland senators, if they want to try, it's my understanding that they oppose it but aren't going to take active action to block it, which is fine. Like, it's in Maryland. You're going to lose jobs because of this. I understand if you're a senator from Maryland, you have a responsibility to try to protect your state. The dude from Utah and Bernie Sanders can go kick all the rocks. Please get the hell out of here and let us govern our own area, as disjointed as it may be. Mark, thank you for the time, man. I sincerely appreciate it.
Hey, it's a thrill and an honor to be with you guys. I appreciate it anytime.
Thank you, man.
Well, dude, it sounds like there'll be more times because we got a whole city council vote to get to.
We will be calling.
This is a story. Yes, this is job security for us. So,
all right.
Thank you, Mark. Really appreciate it. Give him a follow at Seagraves at – where the heck did that one go? I just had it. At Seagraves NBC4, Segraves, NBC4. B, Mark Seagraves is not a guy that blows smoke. He says this is the best it's ever looked to get the stadium back at RFK.
I'm with that.
That is exciting news. Nobody go anywhere. Thank you to Mark Seagraves for joining us. Some really good information there about what at least two out of four of us are hoping happens in the Commanders getting back to RFK Stadium. Let's take a quick vote. B. Mitch, do you want him to get back to RFK Stadium?
Yes.
JP, do you want him to get back to RFK Stadium? Yes. Landfill, do you want him to get back to RFK Stadium?
You don't know.
As long as it's not Virginia.
You just don't want any money going to football, right?
Not one dime. I don't want any of the traffic. Stay on the other side of the river, and I'm happy.
He ain't going to the stadium anyway.
I know. Would you?
Yeah, near his house, he wouldn't even go to the damn stadium.
But I like going places on Sunday, and I don't want anything to do with any of this nonsense. Watch the game on TV like a decent person.
If it was in Virginia, it wouldn't be.
What if it was in, like, Alexandria?
If it was in Alexandria, I would devote all of my money to defeating the politicians that made that happen, which admittedly is like $12. but I would stop at nothing.
Well, Leadville, here's the good
news. I would volunteer for hundreds of hours a week against them.
That I don't believe.
That I don't believe at
Alexandria
all.
Is the Bermuda Triangle of stadiums.
If I don't even think there are hundreds of hours a week, so I couldn't do that.
If somebody tells you they're getting a stadium built in Alexandria, don't believe them, especially until that lady from Norfolk is no longer in charge. Jeff.
Man, stop talking about love D'Angelo's aunt, man.
Who?
That was D'Angelo's aunt.
Hey, she did her thing, dude.
She should be president.
Saying, you can't believe in a stadium deal as long as that lady is in charge of the stadiums.
Because when you lie to her, she's going to make sure you won't have a problem.
That's a top five politician in the history of the country right there.
Jeff, do you want him to get back to RFK?
No, I do not. I want him to stay in Maryland. I know a lot of people are going to hate me for that take, but I love where FedEx is. It's just, well, not FedEx, Northwest. In the middle,
just because it's close to your house, huh?
Yeah,
that, and it's in the middle.
Shut the hell up, Jeff.
It's in the middle of a big parking lot. It just
that's what sucks about
all
it.
All of us going to be in the middle of a big parking lot.
Hey, nah.
Eventually.
It's smooth, man. It's in. I don't know about anyone else, but it's in and out for me. I love it.
Okay.
I mean.
Oh, Jeff, somebody just told
party
me.
Party of one.
They don't need you to DJ anymore this year.
Hey, that's fine.
Jeff, J-E-P-H, Jeff. Did you guys do bets yesterday? I know I hit.
Yeah. No, you didn't.
I did.
You didn't hit. You weren't here. That's why you didn't hit.
I texted it in. It hit.
No, you didn't.
So what? I'm 1-1. What's everybody else?
I'm 0-2. B, 2-1. Landini, 2-0. JP, you 1-1.
Who lost last night? The Pelicans got killed.
They got smacked.
Yeah, they were so why did I bet on it?
I'm taking Eastern Michigan money line.
Football? Oh, I like that. What do you like, B?
I don't have a clue. I just do this at the last second.
I'm taking the Flyers puck line tonight. +1.5. How about that? That's the weirdest bet I've ever put in.
I'm going Stony Brook +9.5.
Ooh. Hey,
I'm taking it over with the Oklahoma City Thunder and Portland Trailblazers.
Jeff, someone named Dickie just asked you to DJ their wedding in the chat. I'll let you take that up with Dickie. Thank you to everybody that listened to the program today.
RFK Stadium site.
Thank you to Neil Greenberg for joining us. Thank you to Mark Seagraves for joining us. Thank you to John Walton for joining us. Get well soon, Ovi. Grant and Danny coming your way next. You made it this far. Oh, you beer.